Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we continue our study of the historical situation of Palestine during Jesus' time. We saw the political situation as well as the social setup. Today, I would like to concentrate on the economic situation of Palestine. Jesus made his inaugural address in the synagogue of Nazareth, his hometown, quoting from Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. It is reported in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 16 to 30. In reading from the prophet, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me. He has sent me to proclaim the good news to the poor." Jesus considered his mission as a mission to proclaim the good news of God to the poor. Again, as part of his Sermon on the Mount, or as it is given in the Gospel of Luke chapter 6, the Sermon on the Plain, Jesus said, "Blessed are you poor." At the same time, he repeated, "Woe to you, O rich! Who are these poor and who are these rich? Why are the ones called blessed and why the others are called unhappy?" We have to see the situation in which Jesus addressed these words. The economic situation of Palestine, where Jesus lived. Palestine is the promised land, the land promised by God to Abraham and his descendants. While calling Moses in the desert from the burning bush, God told Moses that he has seen the afflictions of his people and he has come down to liberate the people and to lead them to a land. Exodus chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. "I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey." Palestine, the promised land, is qualified, characterized as a land flowing with milk and honey, a rich land, a fertile land where agriculture could be done profitably, where they will have never to hunger and thirst. But what was the situation of Palestine at Jesus' time? See, Palestine was a fertile land, especially the northern region, Galilee. Around the Sea of Galilee, the land was fertile. And from the Sea of Galilee, they had plenty of fish. Fish that could be exported as well. The coastal plain of the west, the Sharon or the plain of Shephelah, both were rather fertile land. The same with the central region, the region of Jezreel, the plain of Jezreel, was the most fertile part of Palestine. In this fertile area, the land was cultivated and the cultivation was mostly export-oriented. There had been products of grain, corn, barley, and also fruits like grapes and olives and figs and dates. All these fruits were cultivated and exported, even sycamore figs. Though not very tasty for human consumption, sycamore usually for cattle, but also could be used by the poor people. and there had been also grazing land. So in this land, how did the people live? On the one hand, there was an industrial or export-oriented cultivation. There was fishing, there was grazing. And there were people, some of them who were very rich, and some middle class or lower middle class, and some really poor people. Now, a word about each of these categories. The rich, compared to the other regions of the Roman Empire, Palestine was not a place of rich people. There were very few who were really, really big, rich. Some of them were. The royal family of Herod was considered to be really rich. And there were absentee landowners, landlords. Some of the Jews who were residing abroad, outside Palestine, the diaspora, they had properties, especially in the northern region of Galilee. Could be also foreigners who had occupied, who had possessed estates, be it olives or grapes or vineyards, whatever it be. So there were some really rich absentee landlords. And Jesus speaks about one of them in his parable of the wicked husbandmen, the so-called wicked tenants. Jesus speaks about a person who built a vineyard and left it to the tenants. And the time of collecting fruits, the master or the landlord sent his servants to collect his due. And we know from the parable that these tenants were not willing to give the products or the share of the landlord. Ultimately, they killed his only son. Jesus was taking an example from his day-to-day life. There apparently had been unhappy tenants who were even prepared to do violence against the landlords. Of course, in the parable, Jesus is speaking about himself. He is presenting an allegoric picture of the history of salvation, where God had chosen a particular people and the leaders were given the responsibility of guiding the people towards justice, equality, fraternity, according to the law given to them on Mount Sinai. And the people refused to respond to these laws. And ultimately, the envoys, be they prophets or John the Baptist or the very son himself, were rejected and put to death. So the landlords were one of the rich categories. Then you had the businessmen. I spoke about the export industry of Palestine. They were exporting agricultural products. They were exporting also dried fish, the tasty fish of the Sea of Galilee, or fish from the rivers. And these were salted, dried, and exported, and many other items. The exporters also imported many goods. What they exported was mostly agricultural products, but what they imported was mostly luxury goods, like fine textiles, silks, gold and other ornaments, jewelries, precious stones, precious metals, and very costly wood like teak or sandalwood. And they were importing also very expensive perfumes and many, many such luxury items or consumer items. So there was a higher class of people who could afford to use very expensive items, be it on food, clothing, or other personal needs. We know about a woman who poured a bottle of pure nardine on the head of Jesus just before his passion. And people complained, especially his disciples and mostly Judas. He complained about why this such a great waste. This could have been sold for 300 denarii. Judas, who had the purse of the community, made a mental calculation immediately and found how costly, how expensive this perfume was. A denarius is a day's wage, a normal day's wage in Palestine. That's what we know from the parable of the workers hired in the vineyard. The landlord had agreed with the workers that he would pay each a denar. And at the end, he paid, and they were happy about it. So a denarius is a day's wage. And here Judas says this perfume could have been sold for 300 denarii. So almost an entire year's work of an ordinary person has been spent on a bottle of perfume that was poured at once on the head of a person. Of course, it has its own symbolic meaning, but at the same time, it gives us a picture of the luxury of the rich, a person who could afford to spend so much on perfumes. The big businessmen, export-import oriented business. Then you had the bankers among the rich. In the Bible, there is a law prohibiting taking interest from Israelites. In the book of Exodus, chapter 22, verse 25, we read, "If you lend money to any of my people with you who is a poor, you shall not be to him as a creditor, and you shall not exact interest from him." So Israelis, Jews, were forbidden to take interest from fellow Israelites. But in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 23, verse 19 and 20, we have this exemption. "You shall not lend upon interest to your brother, interest on money, interest on victuals, interest on anything that is lent for interest. To a foreigner, you may lend upon interest, but to your brother, you shall not lend upon interest, that the Lord your God may bless you in all what you undertake in the land which you are entering to take possession of it." So there is a difference in the law concerning the foreigners and one's own people. The Israelis are not allowed to take interest from fellow Israelites, but they could charge interest from foreigners. But in practice, everybody was being charged of interest. And the interest rates were fixed according to the market economy, according sometimes also the whims and fancies of the one who lends, and the need of the one who borrows. So the bankers, very often the interest could be very high. The normal rate of interest was 4% per year, they said. But sometimes it came to 20 to 100% or even more. So exorbitant interest were charged on loans when the one who borrows was in real need. So people were becoming rich. And the one who was paying the interest, of course, was becoming poorer and poorer. Among these rich people, there is one person worthy of special mention, and he is the high priest. The high priest was among the richest persons on the land, and he had revenues from various sectors, and we will see it when we consider or analyze the religious situation of Palestine, the life of the rich. We get some insights from the parables of Jesus himself, and also some of the banquets in which he participated. And there are plenty of incidents reported by historians how luxurious the life of the rich was. The rich of Palestine behaved themselves as the rich of Rome. Of course, there were Roman citizens residing in the cities, major cities like Jerusalem, Caesarea, or Tiberias. And the Roman lifestyle was accepted, adapted by the Palestinians as well. That's how Jesus tells the story. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, Jesus speaks about a rich man. There was a rich man, Jesus said, who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. Sumptuous banquets every day. If the perfume of one person costed 300 denarii, you can imagine what type of luxury they could have afforded to. So the rich could enjoy themselves of all the goods of the earth. The women were also not bad at the luxury. In their ornaments, their jewelry, their banquets and festivals, they could spend enormous amount of money. Now we come to the second category, the middle class or the lower middle class. And this was the majority of the people that belonged to the middle class. These are the people who had some kind of a steady income, possession of a house, the possession of some arable land, some cultivation of their own, or craftsmen, handicrafts, some kind of small business, shopkeeping, fishing, and such activities that gave them enough of food and lodging and clothing. But these were the people who were taxed the most. We have already seen that the Roman taxes amounted to 30 to 40% of the income, and the middle class had to bear the burden of these taxes mostly. And there was the taxes of Herod and the temple taxes and all the rest. And these people who had to pay the taxes, and if they did not have enough income, they had to borrow. And we saw how expensive it would be to borrow money. And gradually, these middle class people were losing everything they had. And Jesus speaks about, in his parables, about the plight of such persons who were ultimately sold into slavery. So Jesus belonged to the middle class, and the disciples also belonged to such a middle class. But before they started on the journey with Jesus, they abandoned everything, as Jesus himself did. He said, "The birds of the air have their nests, the foxes have their holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He became one with the poor. And the poor, they are the people who had nothing of their own, no steady income, no steady job. They were occasional laborers, and very often they were reduced to begging and sometimes to starvation. Some turned into robbers. Robbers, beggars, starving people, all poor people. And their number was increasing. And the Pharisees and the lawyers taught it was a virtue to pay alms, to give alms to the poor. And there were many of them. Now this is the Palestine of Jesus. Very few rich, very many middle class who were becoming poor, and the number of the poor was increasing. Into this situation, Jesus came with the good news to the poor. What was that good news? We will see gradually. Now let us close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son with the good news to the poor that we are. Enables us to understand that good news that your Son brings to us. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord.